Hello, beautiful ones out there listening to us. This is Carolyn Evers. You know, I'm just delighted to be here sharing thoughts with you, hoping that you will call in and share thoughts with us. And my dear friend is here with us also.
Good evening, Carolyn. Good evening, everyone. This is Richard.
Good evening, Richard. So prompt on the cue. I just love it.
I thought I'd give you an easy time tonight.
Indeed. No fooling around, just got right on board. Well, friends, for those of you who get our emails, you know that tonight we are going to be talking to a very special guest, Chief Joseph. And when we sent out the information about Chief Joseph, Richard sent a link to some information about Chief Joseph. But before we get into that, I want to tell you a little story. And it was an experience that I had when I was in Sedona several years ago. And it does relate to this story of Chief Joseph, and it's why I'm telling you that. It was an incredible experience of a past lifetime that I had as an American Indian. And as I was going to Sedona, for those of you who maybe have traveled by car, you know there's some switchback roads there, meaning they kind of zigzag before you get into the area. And every time I got to a place where there was a direct line with Sedona, I saw myself in the third eye as an American Indian. And so I felt that something was going to be there for me with this story. Our little group stayed at Bell Rock, which is a hotel right next to Bell Rock itself. And as soon as I got there, the vision started. I was an American Indian sitting on the back of a pony, along with another group of American Indians, and we had camped or were coming right to the very spot where this hotel was at Bell Rock. And it was a relatively small group of Indians. We rode on our ponies bareback without saddles, and gave honor to the four corners and then got off of our ponies and we had a meeting. Every time I came in and out of the, well, actually, it's a motel there, I had another vision of this event. What the event was all about is the American Indians, this was before the white man had actually come out west into the Indian lands. And at least the group that I was with when I was this American Indian, we could see into the future. We could see that white men were going to come and that we Indians were going to be in for a very difficult time. Now, the different tribes had sent representatives to this meeting. And at that time, I was male, the son of an Indian chief, and I was a shaman. And so there was a big discussion about what the different tribes were going to do. Now, some tribes decided to fight for their lands. Some tribes decided that they were going to try and live peacefully with the white men. There were some tribes that decided that they were going to walk into the next dimension, which was very interesting because that one of the groups that had decided that was a group where very little had been found about them as far as artifacts in the land. And we then went on to, if you know the area of Sedona, there is a gorgeous pool of water that comes up out of a place called Montezuma's Well. And our group of that were with me, we went to Montezuma's well. And there we saw the group of Indians that walked into the next dimension. And what I mean by that is we could look into the next dimension and see these Indians. We heard them speak. The interesting thing about all of this is that they were with their ponies. They had all of their articles of clothing, things that they were to use, and they just moved into the next dimension. Now, I can't say that I had any information as to how in the world they did this, because it was quite remarkable. As we were in the well, they all stood around looking down at us, and several women in the group actually could see into the next dimension and saw them. And so the story of Chief Joseph is one of the, you might say, participants who tried to live peacefully with the white man. And so I just bring that story because I just think that it is so remarkably fascinating that, first of all, we have groups of people who could see into the future, that they were that close to the land, that they were that close to energies, understood their creator in a way that perhaps we don't understand it, and were able to do something that I haven't heard since, where a group of people could just walk into the next dimension with everything that they owned. And so you might say Chief Joseph is part of that story. And he asked to, well, first of all, we asked if he would come, and he would. And so some of the information that he tells us that he's going to bring has to do with the economics of our country, what we are facing right now. And for those of you who have listened to us before, you know that Richard brings in the individual from the other side. And if you work with this, if you work with this energy, now everything is vibration, you might even have this connection with Chief Joseph yourself. And so we did send out, or Richard did send out, this information about Chief Joseph, and there is a picture of him. And if you had looked at that printout from the encyclopedia, I would like for you just to think of his picture and see him in your third eye. And as Richard describes the energies that Chief Joseph brings to us, try, intend, just intend to connect with that. And perhaps you might feel the incredible nobility of this man, the leadership, the peace that he held. And I'm picking these things up right now as I speak to you. And so, Richard, if you would be kind enough to call Chief Joseph into your awareness and describe to the people who are listening to us what his energies feel like.
He's been here with me for a while as you've been speaking, and I experience his energy very centrally. The overwhelming experience is one of love. And the power and the leadership that he displayed and does display is an expression of love. It's so singularly love-based. The man came from love. He stood for love. And it's so clearly expressed in my experience of him now. And as you said, the sense of nobility, the sense of leadership, the sense of peace, all of that is married into that experience. But the overwhelming sense is love that the man carried, quite extraordinary. One could mistake it, in a sense, for simplicity, but it's not simple at all. It's beautiful, beautiful energy, extraordinary energy. You're next.
I was just sitting here looking at his picture. Just, there was something in his eyes, something in his demeanor that just grabs my attention. And so I do believe that he has a message for us, for our listeners, and for this time. If you would be kind enough to take his message, Richard, I would appreciate it.
My dear friends, it is an honor to be able to come forth in this manner and to speak with you from where I now reside, and in a sense speak to you across, as one of your other guests said, the skeins of time. I like that expression because time is a little like that. Strands that seem to have meaning, and yet in the dimension I now exist in, everything exists concurrently. And as I mentioned to Carolyn when she asked me if I was willing to come forth, I wish to primarily focus on the subject of the economics of your country. And indeed, the economics as they impact the world. And to do that, it is useful to reflect upon the forces that were at work in my time, because they relate very directly to the experiences that you are having at this moment. You might examine the actions of the white man as they interacted with me and my people as being based in greed. They had no respect for who we were and what we stood for. They simply viewed us as being in their road as they sought to take everything that they believed was their, you might say, God-given right. And in that there was an arrogance and a self-righteousness which left little space for, you might say, the native peoples that we were, just as the white man has behaved in this manner in so many areas of the world, standing for the most part in that Catholic religion, that expression of what you call Christianity, that belief in self-righteousness, that belief in rightness, that truly had no basis in fact. And I mention this because, in a sense, what is unfolding in your time is very similar, except those who are at the mercy of these processes, these attitudes, are for the most part in this country now white people. You are now the victims of those who consider that they have the right to anything that they wish to take, just as the white men did in my time. And so there is a group that believe they have the right to control and dominate humanity, to treat humanity in general as serfs. Indeed, more than that, they believe they have the right to determine their future, their right to live or die, just as the white men did in my time. They believed they could decide whether the Indians, the American Indians as you knew us, had the right to live or die. And those in power in your time believe they have the right to decide how many of humanity will survive, and they are advanced in their planning to decide these things. And indeed, the economic future that you are seeing unfold is very much controlled and directed by those individuals. And so you have a system of economics that has been put in place that, to a large degree, began in your country with the establishment of the Federal Reserve, a private bank, in 1913. And that establishment really was the stepping stone to what you see unfolding currently. They have used that private banking system to turn the American population, for the most part, into serfs or into slaves, depending on the term you wish to use. The taxation system, the devaluation of the currency, the emasculation of the ability of America to manufacture any of its own goods. The country and the people have been stripped of their economic health. And you are well aware that the country itself is in great debt. And what, for the most part, humanity has not recognized is that this entire experience is engineered. It has been planned this way from the beginning, and the so-called global financial crisis that you experienced just a few short years ago was also engineered. It was no accident that there was these massive debts created in the banking system, with those banks considered to be too big to fail. And as a result, massive amounts of public funds were handed almost without question or limitation to those private banks. And this has continued not only in your country but in Europe. And those of us on this side watch in amazement that, for the most part, humanity has not recognized what is happening here. The only exception, really, to this has been the people in Iceland who have said no. And they've begun to imprison those who were responsible for this farce, because it is a farce. And so what you see is the countries of Europe at this point being saddled by massive debt that has become public debt as funds have been handed to the private banks. It is an extraordinary turn of affairs, and you need to understand that this has been engineered by those who run the financial game in your world. And it is their intent to see all of this structure fail. And so you should expect some difficult times in the coming months as these systems begin to fall apart. But perhaps most importantly, you will see more and more people rise up. The Occupy Wall Street movement is but a small part of what truly is beginning to happen. Yes, there have been protests in Greece, but the vehemence and the power of the protests that have been emerging in Spain in particular are setting an example for the world. They are saying no in a very powerful way, and this will begin to spread more actively across the world. And it is important to recognize that these individuals that are seeking to control humanity and put into place world government and a world currency and a world army and technology to track every individual on the planet, that these individuals only have the power that the masses give them. And it is time for all of you to recognize this, to stand up, just as I, in my own way, stood up in my time. And yes, there was a limited amount that I was able to do, as you understand. And whilst I gained some recognition amongst the white men for the way that I stood my ground, ultimately it served little purpose. However, in your time, it will serve a great purpose. And that is the difference between when I
was walking the earth and the time that you are now in when you are walking the earth, because it is a different time. It is a different point in the cycle. And it is that moment when humanity in general is beginning to reclaim its power from those who would control all of you, to make you all slaves in one way or another. And so, from an economic perspective, it is going to be a difficult time for a while. But understand, this will all shake out very quickly. There are those who understand how to put in place economic systems that work in a fair and balanced and equitable manner, and that are not created to serve those who wish to control you all. So these things will come forth, and it is not as if you will instantly transition away from the need for money with that transition that awaits you in your near future, because you will require some mechanism to manage the exchange between people. This will continue for some time, so do not think that suddenly it is all going to wash away, because it is not, but rather more equitable systems and solutions will be put in place. So I alert you to the fact that a lot of the systems in your world will be disrupted to an extent in the coming months. But view this as a stepping stone to a much more secure future. Not the kind of step that I had to make, but rather a step that reflects the energies that are now present upon your planet. Yes, there will be disruption on so many levels. People will truly begin to understand the degree to which they have been controlled and manipulated by so many forces, you might say. The media, the military, the bankers, the politicians, who ultimately are all serving the same masters. It is all part of the same process. So, I said I wished to speak about the economy. And really, I wanted to speak about that in the context of this broader change that is emerging in your world. And so this is my key message to you. Expect challenge and difficulty, but understand that it represents a stepping stone to humanity waking up and humanity taking back the power and control that is truly that power and control that belongs to humanity in general, rather than those few that have tried to grab it for themselves. This is my message to you.
Thank you, Chief Joseph. As we discuss some issues with Chief Joseph, I would like to invite those in the audience who are listening to this to call in with your questions, as we would like to hear what you have to say also. I gather from what you're saying, Chief Joseph, that there'll be a lot of changes by the end of the year. But if I understood you correctly, the beginning of next year, we will still have a transition financially where there will be difficulties. Did I understand you correctly in that?
Yes, I expect that it will take a little time for some structure to return to your experience. As you understand it, those who have sought to control humanity will no longer be among you from the timing of that December 2012 solstice. They will no longer be among you. And so those forces will be eliminated, and it will be a lot easier for those who have the understanding of how to put in place equitable monetary systems and bases for exchange, if you will. for those individuals to step forth and begin to put these things in place. But as you imagine, this process is not an instant process, and those that remain upon the planet will need to spend some time deciding how to move forward, who will occupy roles of leadership, because leadership is always required. Even though the power resides with humanity as a whole, and this understanding will return, as I mentioned, there is always the requirement for leadership. And so there will be new leaders that begin to step forth in many ways. And so these processes will take a little time. So do not expect an instant transition to a new solution, because you are still, in a sense, dealing with the type of consciousness that you have in a way. It is not an immediate thing that humanity, as humanity passes through the ascension step, will suddenly awaken to all of its skills and abilities. Some will do so, but for the most part, people will need to be taught how to do this, how to reclaim those skills and abilities. It is not as if suddenly they will instantly be there. So there will be some learning, some growing, and some understanding to be done as humanity moves forward.
Thank you. There are people who already are suffering. In other words, there are people who have lost their homes, who have lost their jobs, and even if they haven't lost a home or lost a job, financially, things are becoming much more difficult for them. Do you have any thoughts presently of what people who, those people who find themselves in this situation, what they might do?
Firstly, there are those who are financially challenged, who are in situations of substantial debt, trying to hold on to their property. And I would encourage you to let those millstones go. Yes, there's a great attachment that humanity has to their piece of property, their house, their home. But really, in a sense, I encourage you to let go of that sense of ownership. You are simply a custodian for a while of a piece of land. It is not something that my people held in that way that you hold it, but rather we held lands communally. Yes, there were areas of land allocated to particular groups, or you might say agreed boundaries between groups, but there was not this individual ownership of a small piece of land as you currently see things. And so I encourage you to release those millstones where they are weighing you down and be willing to recognize that your standard of living will change. But you know, it really takes very little to survive and be able to keep, you might say, body and soul together. And so I encourage you to work out how it is that you need to survive, what you need to do to survive. Be willing to take some steps, to do some work that you might consider is beneath you. Do not be locked in by what you see as being your specific skill set. Be willing to do what you need to do to survive, to take care of your families, because there will always be an answer. And be willing to visualize the life that you wish to see. Intend to bring forth into your life the abundance that you need, because these things will begin to emerge in ways that at this moment you cannot imagine. And know that this is a transition time. Begin to understand this and look at it as a time that you need to pass through in some form. to get to the other side. So approach these difficulties with some perspective. And even though there are challenges in this country, let me assure you, they are at this time far less than in many of the countries of Europe or indeed South America. So have some perspective. And I will say that for the most part, Americans do not have much by way of a perspective in world terms. And this has been encouraged, this isolated view that so many Americans possess. But understand that so many in so many areas of the world live in circumstances that are far more challenged than yours. The unemployment rate in Spain, for example, is around 25% of the workforce, and amongst young people, over 50%. Understand that even though it is a challenging time in your country, it is not as bad as it is in other areas. And I'm not wishing to diminish the experience that those who are challenged are going through. Make the best of it. Find a path that works. That, as I said, keeps body and soul together through these challenging times. This is my counsel to you.
And I thank you for that. I do believe that there is a couple things needed, which you are providing. One, encouragement that the situation that it is today is not going to last forever, that it is a temporary thing. And the other thing that I wish to reiterate that you mentioned, and that is intent, to intend and to visualize what you wish in the future. I do believe that these are very important things, and I thank you for bringing them forth. A question that I have, I don't believe that every reporter and the complete press is in camp with those that wish to control humanity. What do you see a time when soon when the press is going to start reporting what actually is happening? I do believe that if the press were a little more vocal with the truth, that it would help bring some of these situations forth and resolve them.
We do see a point where segments of the press will begin to break ranks. Indeed, you see this already on the internet, and you see statistically very few people trust the current news sources. I believe the percentages are perhaps 20% of people currently trust the information that comes forth from the news sources. And so certainly we see a growth in more accurate reporting growing upon the internet and then breaking forth into some areas of the mainstream press. Of course, it's important to recognize how interwoven the media and the media ownership is with the powers that be, the interdependence. For example, the media, even if it were independent of these controlling groups, would still be, in a sense, beholden to them because those major companies represent such powerful sources of advertising revenue. And so the media companies are not going to attack Monsanto, for example, and the practices that it indulges in because it is such a powerful source, directly and indirectly, of advertising money. So these things are very powerfully interwoven. And in addition to the emergence of truth from various sources and an acceptance of it and a recognition, there will be events that will be so powerful in your experience that they will be undeniable. However hard the press might try to keep these things suppressed, they will fail. just as they tried to ignore the Occupy Wall Street movement when it first emerged, they found it impossible. But there will be events in your experience in the coming months which will make the Occupy Wall Street movement look like a kindergarten playground. These experiences will be of such power that no area of the media ultimately will be able to ignore them, and they will have such impact. So another element that is important here is that many people in most countries have adopted a stance where they believe they have figured out a way to make life work. And so they hold on to that reality with such an iron grip that they blind themselves to the truth. An example of this in your country is the complete ignorance that most people have of the manipulation that was undertaken with that event you call 9/11. Most Americans do not want to look at the truth because it will cause them to have to question their view of reality. It will completely destroy their perception of what they believe they can trust. And so it is a fundamental shift that will come through as this year unfolds. So there are many threads to opening the door to this understanding. The information is already available, but today most people are not willing to look. That is the key issue. And once people begin to look, once people begin to no longer believe that they can trust the individuals they have put in power and control, then all of this will begin to fall apart very rapidly.
Thank you. It sounds to me from what you're saying that perhaps the truth of 9/11 will come forth.
Indeed it will.
Beautiful. I'd like just to stop our questioning for a moment and take a call from one of our callers that has called in. And this is Gina from California on line 3. Hi, Gina. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
You're welcome. And you have a question for Chief Joseph?
I do. My question is related to something that he said that I've come to understand about when things change dramatically, it won't suddenly be that everyone's all on the same page, so to speak. And so I was wondering if he could give advice to those that will be in positions that will be looked to for guidance.
I just would like to sort of make sure I understand what you're asking. There'll be those who will be in positions of leadership. Is this what you're talking about? Those who might be in positions of leadership? Okay. And so those who might be in position of leadership, are you asking his advice to them? Is that the question?
His advice for preparing between now and when that occurs.
Oh, okay. I see that. Richard, did you hear Gina's question?
Yes. My advice, Gina, is to focus on your own personal growth. For those who are aware on some level that they may have some form of leadership, and it may just be amongst those that are around you because you have some understanding and they do not, it is important that you get clear within yourself about who and what you are, and you might say hone your ability to discern truth, because it is standing in your own truth that ultimately your leadership arises. It is standing in that truth that your leadership, your ability to lead others, arises. It arises from the truth of yourself. And so, in a sense, leadership comes from a place of calmness, a place of knowledge, a place of love, a place of understanding. And you can only stand there when you have truly healed yourself and when you have a clear and deep sense of the love that arises within you. And when you can stand in that place, then you can be a leader. And you may just be the leader of your own life because no one else follows. But in these challenging times, people will come looking for those who have that sense of themselves, because that truly is what leadership is.
Thank you for your answer, Chief Joseph. And Gina, thank you for your question. As I see this time, I see it as an opportunity for all of us to understand spiritually who we are and to live a life according to that. In a certain respect, I do believe that we have kind of sort of gotten away from that, the magnificence of who we are, to stand up and understand who we are. And I think that leads, gives inspiration to others. Gina, thank you for your question. It was very valuable.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And now we have Debbie on line 4. Debbie, you have a question.
Yes. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi.
I was wondering, there's a lot of elderly people who have paid off their houses and paid off all their debts and have savings and retirement. So what I understand is we have to just trust that we'll be taken care of when everything is gone?
I'm not quite sure I understand what you mean. In other words, the elderly people who have no debt and have their house paid off, are you talking about them as trusting that everything is, when everything is gone? Is that your question?
Yes.
So you believe that those who have their houses paid off and have no debt, that they're going to somehow have that taken away from them?
Well, that's what it sounded like to me, that, you know, we wouldn't have our piece of property anymore, that, you know, we have to start thinking a new way.
Oh, you got this from something that Chief Joseph had said?
Yes.
Well, I don't believe that he did say that. He was talking about people who had already lost their houses, but let's let him clarify what he meant by that. Richard?
Thank you.
Any comments that I made were in response to the question in regard to those who were already in difficulty, not those who have some level of security, you might say, in the current context of security, and that is that have paid off their homes and have some kind of financial wherewithal. And I encourage you to consider how you can make sure that you have available to you sufficient supplies of various goods and services to the best of your ability in these coming times. I encourage you to have some supplies of food, for example, and perhaps some fuel so that you can ride out any challenges in these sorts of areas. But no one is going to come and take your property. You are not being asked to give that up at this point in time. That is not what I was advocating. I was simply saying that the attachment that people have to this is something that's very much part of your current consciousness. And for those who are currently what you might consider to be elderly and retired or retiring, you will be faced with a significant shift in your perspective of life, because as the changes come forth, you will not be looking at your twilight years, but indeed a complete revisit of what life is about, and the notion of people living for 70 or 80 or 90 years, this notion will wash away because the physical body will no longer age as it currently does, and your physical body will return to a youthful form. So the whole perspective of how life operates is about to be transformed. So it's important to recognize that and to begin to think a little differently about how life will look for you as these changes unfold.
Thank you, Chief Joseph. And Debbie, this is my understanding also. Those who are going to be hit the hardest are those who are, who have debt. Those who have their house paid off and are not in debt are going to be, working through these changes in a much easier manner, not having those problems. Apparently, you have some people in the family who maybe have homes paid off and are elderly.
Well, I'm speaking about myself, but mm-hmm. I thought that if the financial situation, if the banks collapse, we would lose our savings and retirement accounts. And, I was wondering what would happen if that happens.
Well, let's ask Chief Joseph if he has some sense of whether banks are going to fail, and will this leave society in that situation where they will not be able to access their retirement money? Richard, do you think we can get some sort of an answer from Chief Joseph along those lines? What does he see?
Let's see. I would encourage you, again, to rethink how you see life moving forward, because your question arises from that existing consciousness. You see yourself living for a certain number of years based upon the savings that you currently have. And I will say to you that the savings that you have, your so-called nest egg, relies on the current economic structure and basis remaining in place. And I say to you, do not expect that. Expect the basis of life to shift. And so, whilst you I am of the view that the major banks will not survive this current process. I would suggest to you that you look to get some of your savings converted into such things as silver and gold coins, which will retain value through these challenging times. And I encourage you to not rely on investment funds remaining, because you should recognize that the entire stock market, for example, is deeply manipulated. It has no basis in value. And so if your retirement funds are relying on the status, for example, of the stock market, then you should expect that to be decimated. I am not saying these words to frighten you. Rather, have you begin to think a little differently about how life is going to operate and how it will look? And to think that you have life, you might say, sorted out until death, that you have a model that you can survive until death, is not a model that has any relevance as these changes come through, as this change in consciousness emerges. Because you might live for several hundred, if not several thousand years. And the notion of having saved up to survive for 10 years simply is not a notion that makes any sense, as I think you begin to understand. I'm not saying these words to frighten you. Rather, to begin to think a little differently. The nature of the consciousness in which you exist has really only been present for a relatively short amount of time. The fall in Atlantis was only some 12,500 to 13,000 years ago in your time. And so it is coming to an end in your near future. So begin to recognize that you live in the time of this shift, that you chose to be here to experience this shift. And do not fear it, because there will be answers, trust your instincts, trust your intuition, and think about how to protect yourself rather than relying on the banks who really do not have your best interests at heart. Indeed, local community banking is a far safer option than the major global banks, who are all very much part of those that control humanity.
Thank you, Chief Joseph. I'd like to discuss something with you, Debbie. You probably have money in different places, and I'm not asking you what you've done or where it is. What I'm suggesting is make a list, and maybe you already have a list, of money that you have and where it is, and meditate on each one of these places. In other words, go within. Use your intuitive self. Ask questions about where this money is, and is it in the place that will serve you the best? Because it might be a moment where you need to diversify in a certain way. You know, Chief Joseph mentioned about the big banks as opposed to the small or local bank. Meditate on these things. Also, there are certain things that you're going to need in the future, perhaps medicines or supplies of some sort. And I'm not saying that we're necessarily going to require medicines in the future, but think about the things that you use every day. Would it serve you to perhaps accumulate some of these things? And then another thing that I might suggest is meditate on bringing things forward. In other words, creating our needs as it came from what you might think nothing. We're going to be using the background energy to bring forth things that we need in the future. And so think about that. Meditate on that. This isn't a time to fear. This is a time to think a little differently on some of these subjects, just as Chief Joseph said. So what do you think of these suggestions, Debbie?
Thank you so much. I feel so much better. I was hoping you'd get that answer.
Yes, we have strengths within us that are far greater than we give ourselves credit for. We have a magnificence of soul. Give some time to meditate on our higher self, asking to be direct, to receive directions from our monad, our higher self. Think love, open up these doorways, and you'd be surprised at the answers that are going to come forth.
Thank you.
Debbie, thank you for calling in. And Richard, I can't believe it. It is time for us to leave. It has been an hour. I don't know where the time has flown.
Well, when we start talking about financial planning...
I'd like to thank Chief Joseph in a very special way for coming and bringing this subject forth. I'd like to thank you, Richard, for bringing his answers forth. You do a great service to the community, and I am sorry that we can't take the last caller on the line. Helen is on line one, and I am very sorry, but we've just run out of time, Helen. So excuse us for that. It is another week, and we must close the door on our show. And so, Richard, again, I say thank you to you and Chief Joseph.
Yes, thank you, Chief Joseph, and Carolyn, for your wonderful work in making all of this possible.
Thank you, dear. Goodbye for now. Talk to you all next week.
Goodbye, everyone.